ओम ज्ञानति निरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
The Shudra, his arm decorated with turmeric powder, was embracing the prostitute. When Ajamil saw her, the dormant lusty desires in his heart awakened, and in illusion he fell under their control. Purport, it is said that if one's body is smeared with turmeric, it attracts the lusty desires of the opposite sex. The word kamaliptena indicates that the Shudra was decorated with turmeric smeared on his body. This shloka is from just near the beginning of the well-known narration of the Brahmana Ajamil's fall down and ultimate deliverance by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, the compound word is that kama liptena, that would be called a compound word, they're joined together, indicates that lipta means put, I suppose. So he has, the Shudra has turmeric smeared on his arm, and it appears that from seeing the Shudra embracing the prostitute, that the heart of Ajamil also became kamalipta, means covered with lust. This verse describes how Ajamil, seeing the Shudra and the prostitute embracing, Ajamil, who was a pure Brahmana by background, suddenly became illusioned, came under the control of lusty desires within the heart. Hridshaya, lusty desires within the heart. There are several instances described in Shastra and innumerable instances not described in Shastra, absolutely uncountable, of persons who suddenly became overwhelmed by lust. The instances in the Shastra are recounted to instruct us. This is not good. Many instances are there. Ajamil, this is famous. The story of Sobhari Muni. It is not expected that someone who's so advanced in yoga that he's able to meditate underwater would become agitated by seeing the sexual activities of fish. It doesn't seem very likely, does it? That someone who's become elevated in consciousness sees such insignificant creatures, and the fish are described in Bhagavatam 8th canto as the most abominable species of life. It comes even in the ratings, they come even lower than the plants. Jalaja Navalakshani, Stavara Laksha Vinshati. The fish are the lowest of all species. But Sobhari Muni became attracted. Upon seeing their sexual activities, he thought, well, I could do that too. And he fell from his position. Rishyashringa is another example. He was completely protected from lusty desires inasmuch as he never saw any woman. He didn't even knew they existed. It's difficult to imagine, isn't it? That he had no concept of there being another sex. But when he came in contact with young girls, he was captivated by their charms. Chavan Muni, another highly ascetic person, saw the princess Sukanya and became captivated and desired her. Then even Lord Brahma became attracted by seeing his daughter. This point, you can understand what I'm saying? You understand? There's Bengali translation is going on. No? Hatse. Hatse. Lord Shiva. Became attracted by Parvati. Of course, Prabhupada often gave the example of that he was worshipped by her, but he didn't fall. He was Dhira. He was the example of Dhira. But nevertheless, he ended up marrying her. So he ultimately became, of course, this is on a very high level, but the stories are given there to show how one can become, suddenly, one is on a very high platform, and one can topple down by the same trick of Maya that is used for the rabbits, the geese, the dogs, the cats, the buffaloes. It's this for the Shudra, and the Shudra means he's not on a very low, he's on a very low level of consciousness. But Maya doesn't think that, oh, here's a Brahmin, a Jamil, so we should spare him. But no, subject to the same lusty desires. So how does this happen? Well, here it's stated, hritshaya, those desires are there within the heart. It's not that Ajamil didn't have those desires, but they were lying dormant within the heart. He was married. It's not that he didn't have the opportunity for sexual contact, which was dharmic. He was already having that, but he desired sexual contact which was adharmic. He desired to engage in gross, lusty activities, and particularly he was attracted to that prostitute, even though she was obviously extremely low class. I mean, sometimes you hear about a high class prostitute or something like that, because they cater to so-called high class people. They charge a lot of money. But there's no such thing as a high class, just like you said, high class restaurant. They're serving, what's that, caviar? It's considered very high class in the Western countries. Some kind of fish eggs. So it's a high class restaurant in which they sell caviar and expensive wines. But it's wine. It may be expensive, and you may have to be superficially sophisticated to be able to afford that, but ultimately it's just very, very low class anyway. So Ajamil was attracted to this. He had his wife, and his wife was a good wife, no doubt, chaste wife. But he became attracted to the grossness of the lusty prostitute, to the extent that he gave up his wife for her. Now, the other instances I cited, what were they? That Shobhari Muni. Well, he fell down from his position. Shobhari, Risha Shringa, Chavan Muni, they fell down from their positions of being austere sages. Of course, Risha Shringa was just a boy. The other, Chavan Muni and Shobhari, they were elderly, experienced ascetics, tapasvis. So they fell down from their position of tapasya, but they didn't fall down in the way that Ajamil did. They pursued fulfillment of their lusty desires by licit means, by dharmic means. It's a fall down from the position of renunciation, but it's not It's not against the principles of worldly dharma. It's allowed. It's not very good, but it's allowed. Rishyashri, again, he got married. That's all. He didn't engage in any illicit sex, but he was, he fell from the position that his father had, Vibhanda comes to the name of his father. He tried to keep him sheltered from even knowing that because his father knew that the lusty desires are the cause of fall down, and association with woman is the binding force in material existence. So he tried to keep him totally aloof from any female association. So because he knew those desires are in the heart, and if there's association with woman, he's likely to indulge in them. So to keep him pure, he arranged that he'd be in the forest, and women don't come to the forest. Only rishis, hunters, in kshatriyas, or two types of hunters, kshatriyas and then low-class people who they kill animals and eat them or sell their skins. So women are not expected to go to the forest, maybe for collecting firewood, something like that, but deep in the forest. But then Rishyashringa, he, because of his purity, he had the specific characteristic that wherever he went, rainfall would come, which is considered something good. Just like here in Tamil Nadu, if there's rain, it's considered good because there's not enough of it. So in the nearby kingdom, there hadn't been any rainfall, and then the king asked his astrologers, what are we going to do about this? They said, bring Rishyashringa. If he comes, there'll be rain. So how do you get him? So they devised a trick to attract him by young girls, to attracted him to come. And as soon as he set his foot in the kingdom, the rain began. So his father knew that the lusty desires, they're the cause of fall down, so he tried to prevent it from him, but fate is very strong. Difficult to overcome fate. Fate is very powerful. Fate means the impending force of one's previous karmic activities, the reactions that are due to that. That's why if one goes to consults a competent astrologer, he can give a good picture of what's going to happen in your life in future, because fate is very powerful. I was just discussing with Bhanu Maharaj yesterday this idea of caesarean operation. Now they have to have caesarean operation for the child to be born. If they decide that, then the parents may try to fix some exact time that's very good astrologically for the child to be born. But it doesn't always work like that. That they may, the doctor may come late, he may get caught in the traffic jam, or he may be called to some emergency in some other part, or for some reason or other, it may be at a different time. And then, so the birth takes place at a different time to that which you choose. You try to choose. Fate is very strong. I've heard of people who they leave everything and go to live in Vrindavan. I'll die in Vrindavan. So they live there for several years, and they're getting old and they're almost ready to die and they're very sick. And then their relatives come and take them to the hospital in Agra, and they die in Agra. So they can't control it. It's beyond, they're too old to protest, or no one will listen. Because for some reason, the relatives think it's best, let's try and save him, or they don't want to be blamed for leaving him to die unattended like this. So fate is very very difficult to avoid one's fate. The result of one's previous accumulated reactions. And that's the point of this Ajamil story, actually. That's why it's being told. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha aghandun vanti kachdena neharam eva bhaskara. This
is the beginning of the sixth canto, and at the end of the fifth canto is described the reactions that sinful people bring upon themselves in hellish suffering. So Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadev Goswami, well, how can these people get free from that? How can conditioned souls be freed from reaction? So there was some discussion by prayaschitta, atonement, by developing jnana. Parikshit Maharaj wasn't satisfied with either of these answers. And then the real answer is that by attaining pure devotional service to Krishna, it uproots the desires for material enjoyment from the heart, because it's the hritshaya, the desires within the heart that impel us. Arjuna asked the same question in Bhagavad Gita, that, what is that verse? Atakena prayuktayam papam charati purushaha anichanapi varshnaya baladiva niyojitaha. Why is it that we don't want to, but as if by force we engage in sinful reactions? And then the same answer comes from Krishna. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samudbhava, mahashana, mahapapa, vidyena, havayana. Our enemy in the form of lust and anger, which are produced of the mode of passion, rajagun, the enjoying spirit. Rajagun is it's the enjoying spirit. In sattvagun there is the introspective spirit, or the spirit of the idea of purification. Rajagun is the enjoying spirit, and tamagun is just, there's no spirit left. You're just dull, or no intelligence. Intelligence is completely covered like an animal. So these desires in the heart, which come from, first of all, one turns away from Krishna. Krishna buli sejivanadi bahyamuk. Because one turns away from Krishna, then the propensity of the soul to love Krishna is transformed into the propensity to enjoy oneself separately from Krishna, which one impels one to perform activities by which one thinks that now I will enjoy. So that's the basic attitude which causes entanglement in the material world, and then one has various experiences. Everything at every moment that we do, we see, we smell, we feel, we hear, that makes some impression in our consciousness. Sanskar. And that accumulates within our consciousness, deep in the heart. And we may not even be aware of it, just like Ajamil wasn't aware. But he had that desire, some desire was there to enjoy grossly, and it's described just like there may be at the bottom of it, the water in the lake is very still and clear and calm, but some bubble may come up from the mud at the bottom. So that desire comes up. Maybe if someone disturbs the mud, or it may just, as if by itself, of course there must be some activity to disturb that air trapped which comes up. So, especially if one sees some lusty scene like this, that makes an impression in the heart which is very difficult to overcome. One may not immediately, you might just see something, some lusty scene or something like that. Look, you don't think much about it, but then later it can come. And even not only in this life, but it appears that even from previous lives, because there was no record in Ajamil in this life of him having any such contact with such lusty, low-class people. So something was there in the heart from a previous life which he became overwhelmed by suddenly. I mean, probably he wasn't the only person, he wasn't the only pure Brahmana in history who came across such scenes. But not every one of them became victimized by that. But he unexpectedly, of course, it's not expected that he would fall down to such a platform that he became a complete rascal, actually. He neglected his elderly parents and turned out his pious wife and became a robber, a murderer, probably much worse than the Shudra he saw embracing the prostitute in the first place. He became extremely fallen because he was suddenly overcome by lusty desires. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport in the previous verses that he's saying that, you see, Ajamil, he got victimized by seeing this, but in Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada writes, a drunk, half-naked woman embracing a drunk man is a very common sight, especially in the Western countries. So this kind of thing, it's in the Western countries, you see it all the time. Now in India, which wasn't there a generation ago or even 10 years ago, it's quite normal it's become normal in the cities at least, or for men and women to walk around with their holding hands or maybe with the arm around the shoulder. But in the Western countries, it's very common that men and women will have a full lusty kiss right in public. It's a normal thing. Right? It's disgusting. People who go from India to the West, it seems disgusting to them. But it's a normal thing. Srila Prabhupada writes, it's very difficult to restrain yourself. So what Ajamil fell down, Ajamil, a pure Brahmana, he fell down by seeing once such a scene, but devotees in the modern world have to see this all the time. In fact, they may be selling books to people who are, it's very common, you approach a couple who are, very lusty, and it's not considered socially reprehensible to act like that. It's in fact, in the Western countries, they glorify people according to their sexual ability. And that's coming more and more in India also, that men should have a big, strong body, and women, they spend half their lives and all of their husband's money at the beauty parlor because they want to look beautiful. It's the idea, the promotion of the body. So devotees are in this situation and they have to maintain Krishna consciousness, which even, you see, those few examples are given. Rishi Ashringa, Sobhari Muni, Ajamil, they didn't maintain. But devotees they're able to do so if they're able to do so. We can understand it's by the mercy of the Lord and by their sincere adherence to the process of Krishna consciousness. Nevertheless, it's not such an easy thing. This is the perennial problem. Perennial means repeatedly occurring or going on continuously. That kanaka kamini, the attraction to wealth and women, they are the stumbling blocks. Kanaka kamani pratishta bhagini. And the tigress of desire for honor. These are the causes of fall down. One can actually just fall down suddenly. In the case of Ajamil, his mind was suddenly overcome, but he made some plan. He didn't just suddenly run off into the forest, but he made some plan. He brought the prostitute into the house as a maidservant, and then gradually, I suppose it didn't take much time, but he gradually became attached to her and threw everyone else out of the house. Now it's stated in the verses that in the following verses, he tried to remember the instructions of the Shastra, not even to see a woman. With the help of this knowledge and his intellect, he tried to control his lusty desires. But because of the force of Cupid within his heart, he failed to control his mind. He knew this is wrong, and he tried to control his mind, and he remembered the instructions of Shastra. But because he was overcome by lust, he failed to do so. And then he was always thinking of the prostitute, and then he made a plan and he took her into the house. He could have consulted his parents or his guru. He knew that what he was doing was wrong, and he made a plan how to fall down. That means that he knew what was wrong, but he deliberately decided to do what was wrong because he didn't take help. He could have taken help. He could have told his parents. It seems he wasn't ashamed to tell his parents because he wasn't ashamed to bring this woman into the house, and he definitely had a purpose in doing so, which was to fall down with her. So he more or less decided from the beginning that he's going to reject everything that he had been brought up with. Of course, he may not have been thinking so clearly what his plan was. He just wanted to bring the woman because his consciousness was covered, and he didn't have a plan to throw his parents out of the house. That just became a natural consequence because his consciousness was covered by lust. One can't think clearly. We've seen that so many times. It's the love marriage. People fall in love, and anyone can see that it's not suitable, but they're mad with love for each other. So it doesn't last, but they can't see that because they're overwhelmed by fear. I can't live without you. And sometimes they even commit suicide, because then if they're not allowed to join with each other, they commit suicide because they think that life without you is not worth living. All these mad ideas they have. So, jnanamavritya dehinam, lust covers the good intelligence of the embodied soul. And he, just like Ajamya, he had so much good training from birth, but he just forgot it all. And he didn't remember throughout his whole life, it seems, he never had any twinges of remorse or thought that, well, I did something wrong. It went right up to death. And only when the Yamadutas came, he thought, whoops, I did something wrong somewhere. Let's see, where did it? But he was saved. That's the whole point of this story, that by bhakti only is powerful enough to uproot the lusty desires within the heart, which we may not even know are there. Just like Ajamil, he didn't know. We may not even know how contaminated we are. Just the fact of being in this hrithshaya, the lusty desires within the heart, that they are there is apparent from our being within the material world. To some degree or other, we are contaminated. That's why we're in the material world. And exactly how much contamination is difficult to say. The process of bhakti is purifying, but at the same time, it's not a mechanical process. Sometimes devotees think, or they seem to compare bhakti with some kind of punya karma. Just like it said, if you do this punya karma, then you get this result. So devotees sometimes think that bhakti is mechanical, that I'll chant extra rounds and then I'll make more advancement, which is, yes, that's the idea, that one, but it doesn't depend just upon, you see, I'll chant or I'll live in Vrindavan, but it all depends on the mind and the attitude. As Srila Prabhupada wrote, the advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. So mechanically chanting more rounds or fasting on Ekadashi and thinking that Krishna now is obliged to give me prema, it doesn't work like that. Bhakti is a personal interaction with Krishna. So certainly chanting more should help us, but the chanting has to be in the proper attitude. It's not mechanical. So it may be that in bhakti also, that not maybe, but certainly there will be many tests. Maya has two phases, this avaranatmika vritti, the covering potency, but by which jnanamavritta dehinam, everyone is covered by Maya. And when one tries to get free from that covering, then prakshepatmika vritti, the phase of Maya which throws you back, comes into play. So if one is not very, very careful on the path of bhakti, if one commits offenses, then even while performing the activities of bhakti, one may become infected by lusty desires. That's what happened in the case of Sobhari Muni. How would he be influenced by seeing fish? But the reason is because he had made an offense to Garuda, thinking that I'm very pious and I'm protecting the fish. But it wasn't his duty to protect the fish from Garuda, thinking that Garuda is some kind of villain. Garuda's fish eating doesn't seem to be a Vaishnava activity, but in his case it is. So Sobhari Muni, he made a mistake, which seemed to him to be the right thing to do. But the result was that his consciousness, he became inimical towards Garuda in the name of protecting the fish. And as a result of that, his consciousness became polluted. In the case of Ajamil, well, we don't have any background information of how he became polluted. It may be just from some previous life, some pollution was there, but we see that here it's stated, in the same way that the sun and moon are eclipsed by a low planet, the Brahmana lost all his good sense. He didn't consult parents who could have helped him, or his guru, any elders, or seniors. He embarked on a sinful course. It was premeditated. So if he had consulted his seniors, they could have helped him. Or sometimes one consults seniors just to get their blessing to embark on a sinful course, or to try to get their approval. Just like someone I know came to explain to me why he had sent his wife back to their village home, and he was going around with some girl, and he was trying to explain it to me, that actually she's very good and I'm making her a devotee, and then he had some imaginary marriage by his own, he made up some kind of marriage act by which he put some kumkum on her forehead in a Shiva temple and she put it on him, and then, so you see, everything's okay. He's trying to explain to me that everything's okay, although no one else thinks it's okay, but he's adamant that it's all right. Everything's okay. What I'm doing is correct. And if others don't understand, well, it's their lack of understanding. So, One may consult, but with the wrong attitude, and that won't help one at all. That will compound the difficulty. Now, Ajamil may have approached his parents, and his parents could instruct him, but that doesn't mean that the force of lust would necessarily decrease, because it's very powerful. But at least one can be protected from that. And as Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport here, that if one has to go on with Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada writes, restraining oneself after seeing such things, as Ajamil seeing the Shudra embracing the prostitute, is very difficult. Nevertheless, if by the grace of Krishna one adheres to the regulative principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna will certainly protect him. So the point is, one has to go on trying. One's position is very dangerous, Srila Prabhupada writes, especially in this Kali Yuga. But one has to go on trying in devotional service. One shouldn't think, well, it's useless, what's the point? One should go on trying, and Krishna will help such a devotee. At the same time, if one is not advancing, tobe jane aparataha te prachur, then one should know that either presently or previously, that why the development of Krishna consciousness is not going on in the heart, because there are many offenses. It's the result of some offense. So Ajamil, we don't know exactly, but he had some, despite being born in a good family, yet there was some residual, very sinful desire within his heart, which came out. And he didn't take the proper means to become free from that. So he had to fall down. By the grace of the Lord, he was delivered. Not everyone is delivered. Most people simply go to hell. Illicit sex is normal. In the Western countries, you can't imagine. I can't imagine either. But it's just completely rampant, to the extent that the previous president of the United States was exposed for having absolutely immoral activities, and no one cares, actually. I mean, the public, they didn't demand his being removed from office. They just think it's normal, that's all. And such is the position. All right, there's some discussion. There's no instant solution to lusty desires. It's that one has to adhere to the process of Krishna consciousness with the faith that Krishna will help us. Yeah, any question, comment? Anything? Want to say anything? Yeah, please.
Bharati, is it that everyone is prone to fall down?
Is everyone prone to fall down? Well, those who haven't gone up, they can't fall down. So, if you're engaged in spiritual activities, you can fall down. For those who have fallen, well, I suppose you could fall further. Just like society in general, it's anyway people are fallen, but it's falling all the time.
Maharaj, one more thing, you just said some time ago that Ajamil had some desires in him.
Yeah, well, it's stated right here in the verse. Hridchaya, the desires are within the heart.
Maharaj, you told about a story, right? What the name of the devotee? You said that he was kept in the forest for his father.
Yeah.
He didn't see a woman.
Even. He didn't even know that women existed. Rishi Ashrindra, yeah.
Then, when he did not know that even a woman existed, how did he get the desire?
Well, that's what I saw. That they, in the neighboring kingdom, they sent women to bring him. How are you going to they wanted him to come to the kingdom so that they could get rain. How to get him? They sent some women.
So, but before that, before the woman came, he did not have any desire. First time when he saw.
No, that's the whole point. He did have desire, but it was dormant. It appeared that the desire wasn't there. Actually, it's good you asked that. That makes the point clear. It might appear that the desire isn't there, but when he came in contact with women, then the desire became apparent. It wasn't apparent previously. Just like there's a saying that power corrupts, but it's not necessarily true. It's only if someone is corrupt, then when he gets power, he has the opportunity to demonstrate or give vent or give, what's the word, to manifest his corrupt desires. Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was powerful, but he wasn't corrupt. It's presumed due to bad experience in the last or in the present age of man, the Kali Yuga, that whoever gets power, their character will turn for the worse. But it's not necessarily true. It's power simply gives the opportunity to someone who is actually has sinful desires to indulge, that's the word, to indulge in those desires. So it might seem that someone's very good, but then when they get power, then it seems their character changed. Actually, it didn't change, but it just, one part of their character which had no opportunity to manifest previously is now becoming apparent. Sometimes we see that someone, a young boy joins the temple, young brahmachari, very humble, then after some time he becomes trained and he gets some position of authority and becomes like a Hitler or something. What happened to the humble brahmachari? Well, it might seem that he was humble as long as it suited his purpose. Maybe that's a cynical way of looking at it, but
then, Maharaj, even if a person who has never seen a woman who does not know what is sex, can he have a desire?
Well, yet you're asking the same question in a different way. The point is, yes, even though he never heard of a woman or relationships with women, does he have desire for them? Yes. He doesn't even know it himself, but the desire is there, dormant within the heart from previous lives. Desire doesn't begin at birth. Rather, we get a certain kind of body specifically given by Maya to pursue the fulfillment of desires from previous lives. So that story of Rishi Ashringa, that demonstrates several principles. One of them is that desire may remain dormant and come out when there's the opportunity. There's also the possibility of starving desires so that they cease to exist. That's the attempt in the yogic process, to just don't go away from society, live in a cave, or like this Sobari Muni, live in the river Yamuna. There's no opportunity for sense gratification. So that you stop even remembering it or thinking about it. But there he saw the fish engaged in sense gratification. So the idea is to, but by not engaging in sense gratification, then the desire just gradually dries up. That's also a process, but the real process is to develop the positive process of getting something much better. Rasa varjang rasopyasya parang drishva nivartate. That's the basis of the kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana aghandan vanti karsi. That the seed of desire can be burned up within the heart by pure devotional service to Krishna.
because it's much better. But lusty desire is very powerful because it seems like I'm going to get something very good, and one has a very strong desire for that. You see, animals, if they're restricted, that I saw once, this many years ago, that the bitch was in heat. There was a bitch within heat. You know what it is? So the dog was behind a fence, and there was a male dog on the other side, and they couldn't get to each other, and they just, like the suffering, like there were, the dog was whining like he was being beaten. He was so much desirous, but he couldn't. Very powerful desire. So one has to develop the powerful desire. Tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam. The only way to achieve love of Krishna is by very strong desire, which appears like sex desire. Rati, the word is used. In the material context, rati means sex desire. In the spiritual context, rati means that strong attraction to Krishna.
Well, sometimes in the way of speaking,
did you bring my books, by the way? You did, all right. That story of Rishi Ashringa is encapsulated with some lessons to be learned from it in that book I have, Brahmachari and Krishna Consciousness. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sometime ago you were speaking of Caesarine,
it's called in Indian English, is it? All right.
That reminded me of a question. That is, in modern world, various artificial methods of producing babies are there, like test tube, cloning and all.
Test tube means it's an artificial womb, that's all. They mix the semen and the ovum come from regular, it's nothing that fancy. Duryodhana's birth, yeah. Duryodhana and 100 others. Is that right? 100 others? 99 brothers and one sister. They had artificial, what's the word, gestation? By the mercy of Vyasadeva.
Then even
Balarama
was transferred to
Venice. Yeah. So it's nothing new. Test tube babies.